Morning. I want to ask you also about the DUP. We saw your tweet. The backstop debate within the DUP is now public. You said Sammy Wilson tells the newsletter that the party will vote against any backstop. Arlene Foster, you point out, refused to say it on Tuesday. And Jim Shannon said the DUP could consider a time-limited backstop.
Yes, you effectively have here three camps within the DUP. You've got camp one, if you like, that is the Sammy Wilson position. It used to be the Arlene Foster position that she articulated at her party conference and elsewhere. And that is basically that the backstop must be binned, that it can't be replaced with another backstop. It's got to go in its entirety. It's a very simple argument. That is something which Mr. Wilson is still very firmly sticking to. He says that any backstop is unacceptable. So it's not a case of this backstop or another backstop. They've all got to go. Mrs. Foster has moved, if you like, to sit in the fence a bit to a certain degree anyway. And she's now not saying whether any backstop must go in its entirety, but is certainly insisting that there have to be changes, there have to be legally binding changes to it. So that is a slightly more pragmatic position. And then, as you say, you've got Jim Shannon and other people within the party who are less vocal than him, who really are much more pragmatic about this and really say that they would be willing to talk about and negotiate and think about something which did have a time limit to it, something which had some other mechanism of making it more amenable to their
views. Where's Geoffrey and Nigel in this? Geoffrey Donaldson, Nigel Dodds in this?
Well, I think that they are people who have not been as public or as clear in articulating what they think. I mean, they are all very opposed to the backstop. I mean, let me be very clear about that. But when you get into some of the semantic language here, it might sound like very robust criticism of the backstop, but it's not necessarily saying that any backstop must be removed from this whole withdrawal agreement. So I think that you've a wider tension here within the DUP between the people who are really ardent Brexiteers, the likes of Sammy Wilson, Ian Paisley Jr., etc., who really from the outset believed and pushed for the DUP to endorse Brexit. And then you have the more pragmatic people who either don't really care that much about the actual issues of Brexit, or in this specific issue think that while it is unpalatable in constitutional terms to have any backstop, there are big problems with that, there are big risks with that for unionism, it is better than the alternative that really no deal, if that is the alternative, would be a constitutional, a very significant constitutional banana skin. They don't know how nationalism would react. They don't know what that would actually mean at the border. And actually, it's better to really stick with what you know, even if there's a bit of pain in the short term. So I think this is something which they have largely managed to keep in house up until now. We're getting to the point now to really the business end of these negotiations where on all sides, both Labour, the Tories, and now the DUP, these sorts of things have been... These sorts of big decisions, I suppose, have been put off for a while. We're getting to the point now where they have to be taken.
I see, Sam, after yesterday's Nolan show, the DUP put out a statement reminding people that Jim Wells did not speak on behalf of the party after his contribution to the Nolan show yesterday. Whether he speaks on behalf of the party or not, he's a DUP MLA who says that he was in the meeting in which all the MLAs and MPs were called to talk about the prospect of voting for Brexit in a referendum. And he says that there was no data shared, there was no dissenting voices, and because they were all one voice.
I think there is a very clear picture now of what happened in that period within the DUP. What Mr. Wells said is pretty much entirely in line with what other people have said, albeit without putting their names to it. And that is that the party really backed Brexit with no expectation that it was going to win. There were people within the party like Mr. Wilson, like Mr. Paisley and others who were very keen to see Brexit win. There were other people who were closet Remainers and still are, who have kept their heads down. But really, when this came to that key meeting of the DUP Assembly Group, which also, as he said, took in its MPs and I think its MEP, it was really something that went through very quickly. It was something where this was, I talked to one person who is a Remainer within the DUP, and they said that this was something that was very popular with the DUP grassroots. And to his mind, the leadership really seemed to think that it was a sort of issue that it was good to let the grassroots have a free hand. So almost throw some red meat to people who aren't terribly happy with some of the things we're doing at Stormont. This is something that's not going to happen anyway. We don't really need to think about the strategic consequences of it, and therefore we will let that happen. Of course, what happened then was that Brexit did happen, and it was really striking the morning that the morning after the night before, when all of the leaders around the UK were making their statements about this. Arlene Foster and the people around her, like Simon Hamilton, really to me looked pretty shell shocked. They did not have the exuberance that I saw at the Belfast County Centre with Sammy Wilson and Christopher Stalford and some of the people who were really passionate about getting out of the EU. They realised at that problem that whatever their personal preferences, they had a huge difficulty here.
Well, that's you reading their body language. We've heard those aforementioned people who you just talked about there, and they're very, very passionate in their rhetoric about Brexit, aren't they? Let's see how this plays out. In the meantime, Sam, thank you very much.